Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your patience. We just came from a closed session and a work session, so let me just open up to my right pages. All right, it's 10:06. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. We are here for our regularly scheduled commission meeting. And again, we don't always say this, but all of our meeting proceedings for commission meetings can be viewed through YouTube live streaming, and then they're taped to view after the fact, which we're quite proud of. Those wishing to direct comments to the commission regarding a public hearing or making public comment can do so in person or by emailing comments, and I don't believe we've received any emails for today. So with that, let's have our opening, and Rhonda Perks, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Thank you. Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, we do have several recognitions, presentations, and informational items today. A will be presented by our clerk, our elected clerk, Brian McKenzie. This is the Notice of Acceptance of the Terms and Provisions of Franchise Ordinance Extension 09-2022 from Rocky Mountain Power.
Good morning, commissioners. Wonderful to be with you, and we've got a couple of items to share with you this morning. As you mentioned, Commissioner, the first one is this Notice of Acceptance of the Terms from Ordinance 9-2022 that was received by Rocky Mountain Power. That notice will be attached to that ordinance for record preservation.
Yeah, and thank you for noticing all these kinds of things in your role as clerk.
The second item that I have for you, commissioners, is a project that has been in the works for, Becky, how many months did you spend on this?
One and a half, maybe.
It was like 1.5 months of every day, all day, trying to fit that in with her work. But I'm going to present one of these to the County Commission office to maintain and talk a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness, it's beautiful.
So what we have done, and I'll just read this this introductory paragraph. Says this book is titled Davis County 2022, The Year in Photographs. The year 2022 was a time for preserving the past, enjoying the present, and building for the future. The renovation of the historical Davis County Memorial Courthouse was completed, the health department closed its COVID-19 vaccination clinic, and the community came together for events and plans, and plans were developed to make Davis County an even more dynamic destination. This photo book was created as a way to preserve photographs related to Davis County government's most memorable events in the year 2022 and to give some context to those photos. The book is not meant to be a comprehensive history, but a way to highlight events that may be of interest in the future. The photos were submitted by Davis County government departments. The images were arranged and captioned by Becky Wright, an archivist in the Davis County Clerk Auditor's Office, using information produced by the departments for social media, newsletters, and documentaries. Within this book, commissioners, and we encourage that you share this book with departments and allow them to take an opportunity to look through this. We have captured a number of events, everything from, as mentioned, the Memorial Courthouse renovation, events taking place with our animal care department, information from the events related to the Bird Festival, things related to elections, important events like the completion of the jail medical wing, the retirement of the paramedic program. So it's amazing when you take an opportunity to look back at some of these historical events that took place in 2022 and try to capture those and put those in one place. This was a project that I thought of last year, and we have an amazing, talented individual in our records division, Becky Wright, who just has a knack for capturing and verbalizing information in the written way. And so she just spent an amazing amount of work on this. But this, we hope, is the first of many annual books that we would capture within the clerk's office from now on to kind of memorialize some of these historical events. And so we would encourage our offices and departments as they go through 2023 and they have significant events that take place in their office, that they try to capture those in photos and send them our way. We'd be happy to capture those and include those in what will be the Davis County 2023, the Year in Photographs booklet.
Wow, look at this. For 20 years of my life, I had a business across the nation where I helped people to create histories in photo books. And they're important. And this is beautiful. It's, wow. Becky, what a great goal and what a great achievement and what a great tradition moving forward. It's beautiful. So the commission will have an opportunity to look at it, but Brian, if you'd let the audience kind of pass this out through the meeting, and then at the end, if you'll make sure we get it back, we will find a way to share this through all the departments and keep getting it back. It'll easily get stuck because people will love looking at this and will want to pass it on to the next person.
And Commissioner, just some information. So our regular practice will be to provide one to the commission office to share with departments. Obviously, additional ones can be ordered at the cost, so if departments are interested in receiving those. And then we will maintain one in our records repository.
So, yeah, how much is it for individual costs?
I can see it was printed by Shutterfly.
Do you remember the cost?
It was like $100, but I don't remember if we got that. I know I was clipping coupons constantly, so I'm not sure what anybody else will pay.
Right. No, it's a volume. It's beautiful.
It's well done. I'd like to invite my Chief Deputy, Rebecca Abbott, to make some comments as well. That's right.
Sounds good.
Just quickly, I was going to mention that we'll have one in the repository. This really is just a way we've been trying to figure out, as has really the rest of the records world, how to preserve photos in this semi-digital, semi-paper world, and what's the best way to do that for longevity. So this is kind of what Brian came up with. I just want to highlight Becky again, because we threw this at her last minute, and she worked furiously with departments, kept it under wraps, trying to get things. The sheriff's office was great to come over. There's a lot of photos in there. And we asked them to come and name the individuals who were in them. There was just a lot of effort that Becky put in and a lot of stress for her. So I want to just make sure again that she's recognized, because it was a lot of work. So.
Truly. And, you know, we take photos because we're trying to remember and preserve something. That's the reason people take photos. And but yet they are lost now digitally. And computers crash, generations pass. There's a lot of risk now to having any photo history moving forward in our world, and so this is really quite precious.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
Brian, just as you walk out, what the suggestion for maybe like next year is that when you get ready to publish it, is maybe find out what they would charge for 10 extra copies, and that way you could ask if anybody who wants one, you would know up front that it was $100, they'd get you $100.
I would appreciate it if I could get one. So
yeah, I think
some
of
the commissioners would like to have some too. So
great.
We can make a purchase, it'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
There will sometimes be great discounts through companies like that, you know. So, but you got to start somewhere. Way to go, just to do it.
Yep, good job.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm excited. Pass it around. Pass it around. Oh, good. It's beautiful. And it was a big year. Every year is a big year. So now it's recorded. Okay. Thank you. The third item is going to be presented by our auditor, Curtis Cook. Go ahead, Curtis.
Commissioners, we have opened a request for proposal for architectural services on the design and engineering services for the Davis County Correctional Facility wastewater screening and sewer lift station. That closed last Friday, and we have two companies that have submitted bids for that. Those two companies are AE2S and Aqua Engineering. Those RFPs will be reviewed by a selection committee, and a recommendation will be coming forth shortly.
All right, thank you. Item number D is presented by Commissioner Bob Stevenson.
Yeah, just information only, the annexation of Alberta and North Salt Lake has taken place. And it's actually a very, very good thing. And we're appreciative of North Salt Lake and actually even Bountiful City for the efforts they made as we brought this together. And we'll continue to look throughout the county for more opportunities as far as things that can better us through annexation. So, and Kent, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that at all, so.
Thank you, Neil, as Commissioner. So.
Very good, thank you. And just a reminder to use your mic for the new year.
I'll go on for another 4 years.
You were so relaxed, I didn't want to interrupt you. You did a good job. Thank you.
Get it on my collar.
All right, next up is our public comment period. We have 3 minutes per person, and you can just share your name. If anyone would like to speak from public, we'd love to have you.
We're waiting.
I was looking through the
hall. I know, while I could see you were.
While she's coming, this is Congressman Stewart's staff, who follows the county greatly and conveys to him information about the county, and she conveys information from him to us. But I just want to really spotlight you, Rhonda, because she put on a really big event in December. It was super successful for the county and people from the county and beyond, and tons of work. And so thank you for the extras that you do, because you're a hard worker and you can see a need.
Thank you very much. Well, yes, I will say at the podium here, I am Rhonda Perks. I am here representing Congressman Chris Stewart today. I'd like to give the commissioners a little bit of an update of what the congressman is doing. Most of you know we had an exciting week last week trying to elect a new Speaker of the House, which happened late Friday night, probably right around 2 in the morning there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I took a snapshot of the congressman. He was on answering some questions from reporters on MSNBC, and I don't know that I'll ever show him the picture. Like, he hadn't shaved for a week. Like, he looked like a mountain man. Don't put that in the notes, please.
Wait a minute. Is there a problem with that? Rhonda, is there a problem with that?
No,
you got something against shaving?
In fact, he got actually lots of comments, but he did look real tired around his eyes. So we're happy that we finally have a speaker. Last night they voted on a rules package, which is the second item of business that they needed to do. And we're hoping by the end of the week, we'll have all the committee assignments, because those kind of, when Congress starts every 2 years, everything sort of is a clean slate. And so we're anticipating the committee assignments will be mostly the same, meaning appropriations and the Intelligence Committee. I will say to this group that he is actively seeking a spot on the House Appropriations Committee for Defense, which would be a big deal for Utah and for him. So we don't know if that's going to happen, but he has certainly made that known that that's something he would like. So after committee assignments are made, there's no bills, so we're going to have to kind of rebuild that bill coffer and decide what the priorities are going to be moving forward. So we spoke yesterday with the congressman and the staff. He has a number of priorities moving forward. A big one is that they want to create a permanent committee on China, or a select subcommittee on China, to really, really focus on things that are happening there. Obviously, lots going on with China. One of the things they want to do is prohibit a great deal of petroleum reserves there. There's lots of other things going on. Congressman's taking a really deep dive right now into social media and children up into the age 15, 16, and maybe, putting a few more breaks in place there and how we might be able to do that, because we're finding with the research that's coming out that Congress has had privy to read, a lot of research linking severe mental health problems to things that are happening on social media. So he's going to be you know, learning about that, trying to figure out, you know, some solutions there. That's going to be a priority for him. Lots of other things going on. You know, he wants to focus on support for the police. Maybe get some headway there and some permanent things happening there. So I will be back a lot. Good. In the next year. I'm really happy that there's an election going on this year, so we're going to get to work.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Rhonda, thank you so much. Any other public comments? Okay, we will move on to our business and action items. And first up, I don't see her. Animal care?
Table.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Letting everyone know, I move that we table number one, and it will come back.
Okay, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you. Community and Economic Development Director Kent Anderson. And it looks like, did you invite Jeff up, but he didn't see you? Okay. Very good.
Yeah, it's all right with the commission. I'd like to have Jeff Euler go ahead and present item number two.
You bet. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. The item that is before you is final plat approval of the Valley Villa subdivision First Amendment. I don't know if the plat, if you have the plat in front of you, that you can see that.
No, so yeah, tell us a little bit about what it is.
This is a property on the corner of Mutton Hollow Road and 50 East in the Mutton Hollow area. There is an existing home on the property on about just over a 1 acre property, and they are proposing to split that property in half and create two lots, one that will the existing home will sit on, and one new building lot. And so it is small, and we don't see a lot of subdivisions come up in the unincorporated county anymore, but occasionally, you know, we'll have one. And so the zoning over in that Mutton Hollow Township area is half acre zoning. That's our AE zone. Mm-hmm. And so this has been before the Planning Commission. They made a recommendation for approval to the County Commission. They also recommended that the conditions in the staff report be forwarded to you. There's three conditions. Number one, that before they can get a building permit to build a home, that they acquire a Davis County flood control permit from our Public Works. Number two is that they install a 5-foot sidewalk along the 50 East portion of the lot, the 50 East frontage. There's sidewalk that comes to both sides and dead end, so it would just be completing a section of sidewalk. And then the third thing is that any accessory structures on the property be removed before a building permit is issued, unless those accessory structures can meet required setbacks. There's a couple of old sheds on the property. It's likely they'll be torn down because they'll be in the way of where a house needs to be built. So those were the three conditions that they forwarded for your consideration.
What zone did you say?
AE, agricultural AE. Estate.
Got it.
That allows for half acre zoning.
Chickens?
Yes. Yes, it does allow for chickens.
We know enough to be dangerous. Yes, okay. That is all the questions I would have had. Any other questions? Okay. Should we take care of this one? Go. I think we might want to do that. Let's do that.
I'll make a motion that we approve the final plat for the Valley Villa subdivision First Amendment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Thanks, Jeff. We have item number three for your consideration, ratification of an amendment with the Department of Workforce Services extending the contract end date and increasing benefit payments with a proportionate reduction in administration costs for the Emergency Rental Assistance II contract. Terms payable in the amount of $3,403,366.80, beginning 1-1-2022 to 1-31-2023. So this would be extending the contract by 1 month. There's some additional administrative funds that Department of Workforce Service will not draw down, so they would like to apply those to benefit payments, and this would allow them to do that.
And then people can apply then still for
remaining they'll be able to keep making. They've got applications in now. They'll be able to use some additional funds, though, that originally would have gone to administrative costs back to benefits, which would be a benefit to the county.
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Item number four is an approval of an agreement with Sanderson Wrestling Academy for the Sanderson Wrestling Academy camp. Terms receivable in the amount of $2,268.90, beginning 6-28-2023 to 7-1-2023.
Very good. I'll move approval of items three and four.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Ken. All right, next we'll hear from facilities and our director, Lane Rose.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Lane Rose, facilities director. So for you today, for your approval, item number five is an updated policy. And this is an internal policy for the management use of our Hughes County facilities. To solidify a few items just with uses of our facilities. The terms on this is just beginning 1-10-2023.
Yeah. Any questions about that policy? We've had a chance to read over that and understand it.
I make a motion that we approve the updated policy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much for your work on that, Lane.
Thank you.
That was good work and needed, and we appreciate it. Right, now our sheriff's office, we have our chief deputy, Andy Holtblad, presenting a few items.
You know, before you start, you know, usually we just have Susan show up. Now there's three of you. I mean, is this an indication, you know, of what's happened?
Big shifts.
Susan was pretty important, pretty integral to what we did. And they're not going to say anything. They're just sit there and watch me and make me
you're a mentor. You're teaching them.
Well,
Butch, wake up. You got to open your eyes to watch what's going on.
Well, and, you know, thanks. We love having, I'll say, several of you in the room.
Well, Butch has stuff on the agenda that I'm going to go through, so he just doesn't trust me to get it right.
That's not true.
Well, commissioners took a minute last week to make sure we got it right. There's definitely some turn, you know, when things change big for a new year and a new term, and it takes a minute, so you're doing good. And just shout out to Chief Deputy West. He didn't have a lot of notice to come to our work session, and he was there, and he had some major contributions, which I knew he would. Yeah, I knew he would. So thank you so much, Taylor.
Let's see. Good morning, Commission, and Neil, and Curtis. I am Andy Oblad, like you said. First item, number six, is an approval for an amendment with West Point City extending the current agreement for law enforcement services. We're basically extending it through June 30th of 2023.
For West Point City, yeah.
It's receivable in the amount of $139,404 beginning, it says July 1st, 2022, and ending June 30th of 2023. But we're just extending it until June.
Okay.
Curtis was very helpful, and Mike, Kendall, and preparing and helping us get to this point, so thank you.
Terrific.
Number seven is an approval of reliability waiver of rights and participation agreement for the SCRAM program. Mm-hmm. For participant 1, 2, 3, and 4. The terms, it's receivable in a varied amount based on tests used and monitoring fees based upon final signature, and runs until the participant is no longer under court order to participate in the program. And if there are questions, we can refer those to Chief Butcher, because he's here. Number eight, approval of a training reimbursement agreement with Ivan Guzman Robles for law enforcement officer training. Terms, it's payable in the amount of $12,945. Contract begins on the day he graduates from the academy and runs for 2 years from that date. And number nine is similar. It's an approval of training reimbursement agreement with Alexander B. Ace for law enforcement officer training. Also payable in the amount, this time it's $13,500. Contract begins on the day he graduates from the academy and runs for 2 years from that date.
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, I move approval of items 6 through 9.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, it looks like we have a consent item. I'm going to say about this one that it took me a while to look at it, and very much too late I caught a very small typo, which will be reflected. It's not reflected on this link. Is that, am I saying this correctly? But it will be reflected in the final to be. And the reason I brought it up is those homes right next to the landfill that looks like a very, you know, average neighborhood for $1 million homes in California, not quite $1 billion homes. And so that'll be changed and reflected in the final minutes. But otherwise, I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks again to our minutes team. They just do a great job.
I move the recess to Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Curtis.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration today on after auditor adjustments. You have a report with various recommended approved appeals totaling $372,311. You have a no change in value report with various recommended no change in value. And you have a hearing findings report with various findings totaling $0. Under abatements, you have a late abatements report with various late abatement requests totaling $2,777.03. You have under corrections, you have 6 veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2022 and 1 veteran tax exemption abatement for the year 2021. And last, under assessor adjustments, under assessor initiated corrections, you have a report with various corrections totaling $234,000. And that is your property tax register for January 10th, 2023.
Very good.
I make a motion that we accept the property tax register presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I make a motion we come out of the Board of Equalization back into our regular commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. All right, we actually have an additional person to ask if there's any comments, because this area here is now made bigger by curving around and including our elected clerk. And there's a clerk division for the commission. Any comments today, Brian? Okay. Auditor?
No comments, thank you.
Our attorney? All right, Commissioner?
No comments.
Elliott? No comments?
Yeah, just one thing real quick. Next Tuesday at our meeting at 9:30, half an hour, I'm going with UDOT real quick. I may be a little late getting into this meeting because I got to be with UDOT for a second. So.
Okay, that's a good heads up. Thank you. And let's see. We had a local homeless council. I'm going to mention that. We had a meeting. We meet as a local homeless council. County chair or convenes many partners in the community for human services. Some of you know that, but some of you don't know that. If you look at my portfolio, you will see a whole bunch of collaborations that exist in Davis County, which are really very important, several. And one of those is a local homeless council. Now, we have had a growing problem of homelessness in Davis County. Probably over all the last decade, when there were operations in downtown Salt Lake that changed things a lot. There was disbursement, really, of individuals experiencing homelessness, and that might have started some of the increased numbers in Davis County. But there's also just growing numbers of people who are being priced out of being able to find a place to live. There's also people with mental health challenges, and you know, sometimes they have family and sometimes they really don't. So there is a count that happens every single year. It's called the Point in Time Count. It's a national count of individuals in shelters. We have some pretty wonderful alternatives to a traditional shelter in Davis County. That's Davis Behavioral Health, owns housing. They have started to accumulate housing since the early 2000s, about 115 beds. If they didn't have that housing, we would see those individuals as homeless. So very many of them. Also, we have one other shelter, which is for domestic violence survivors with Safe Harbor. I'm on both of those boards of those organizations. They're very important in our county. But this point in time also is supposed to take one night in the winter to count individuals not only in traditional shelters, but also people who can be found in the community, in wherever, in their cars or, you know, sleeping wherever, under bridges, different places. And so this happens every year in January. It is happening again, coming up at the end of the month. It actually happens from like 2 in the morning to 5 in the morning. I did it in 2016 as a citizen of the county. I participated as a volunteer. And there will be at least 24 volunteers from the community, and staffed also quite a lot by Davis Behavioral Health workers. Interestingly, when I went out in 2016, you go in teams, you're in a car, there's drivers who know where to go and look for individuals who are out in the weather, trying to, you know, sleep or move or whatever. And we didn't find anyone in my 3 nights back in 2016 in the particular part of the county where our team went. But what I'll never forget is that the 2 people who were the drivers were individuals who had been homeless themselves before. One as a single individual, female, and one as a mother of children and a homeless family. And so those 2 people now are employed. They have come out of that. And that is the point of this effort, is to help people to stabilize and have resources and then to become self-sufficient. So a count, it goes to the federal government, and there's some things that happen with that count. But point is to offer services and to stabilize folks. So that happens every year in January. It's coming right up, and we'll get a count from that. So we'll need to, you know, follow up and share those numbers. They have been increasing, and the other proof of increasing numbers of housing instability in Davis County is actually in the Davis School District, because they have a count of people who are not stable with housing a little bit broader than being on the street. It can also mean that they are doubled up and you know, living with other folks to prevent being on the street. So, and there's about 1,500 students currently. That number has gone up again, according to yesterday, Davis School District, Jody Lunt, that interestingly, even in a county where people don't realize that this is a struggle, it is a struggle. So some good news is that the local homeless council has more people interested in being part of it. And we now have some community members, including like a pretty amazing real estate broker, who's Brandon Wood, who heard about this in the chamber and wants to see, you know, how he can be helpful. Also the former mayor of West Bountiful, James Bohannon, wants to be involved. He has done a lot at the state level when it comes to homelessness and housing. And so I think I'm just kind of sharing that the good thing about Davis County is that we have people who want to help and who do help. And I'm excited to see that we have more people wanting to attend, because we have an increasing problem and people are becoming more aware of it. So anyway, local homeless council, we welcome those who want to serve. We've had 2 or 3 other individuals who will be great volunteers in that group. And then we have our partners in the community who actually have housing and provide services, because the government is really not doing that. We just help with grants. So anyway, and I would say that people who watch this and see folks, because sometimes we do, you know, that it's a good idea to have the number for Open Doors and to call Open Doors, which is the Community Action Agency, because they do outreach and they will go and find the folks and offer things if we see them and wonder if anyone's reached out to them. Does that make sense? Yeah, and there are services. So, all right, with that, Happy New Year, and we'll adjourn our meeting. It is 10:40. Thanks, everyone.